Exodus chapter 32. We'll cut right to the chase here, and I'll have you keep me up kind of here because I don't know how long my voice is gonna last. I'm hoping I don't drag you guys out here on this and sound too monotone, but I'll try to just be led by the Lord here and do what He wants me to do. Let's pray. Father, we need You, Lord. I just pray that You'd move and You'd help us understand the great truths that You have in this for us, Lord. There are so many things in this text. And I believe these same problems plague the churches today. And Lord, we're ignorant and blind of it in many ways, and most churches are today. Most Christians are today. Lord, You said it's high time we awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. And Lord, I pray that we'd understand that, grasp hold of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Exodus chapter 32, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, that the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. So we talked about this earlier on Wednesday night. Some of you didn't hear that message. It was called, the title of that message was Nimrod Worship. In Israel. And what happened was is they made this golden calf. But just to do some backup here, just take a look at what they had done here. God had just revealed Himself. I can't go through everything I went through in that sermon, but God had just revealed Himself to them. The 70 elders, Moses and Joshua, the 70 elders and Moses ate and drank with God. God revealed Himself to them. Face to face, He did. You might have to turn that down just a little bit. Face to face, God revealed Himself. It'll keep you guys awake, though. Face to face, He revealed Himself to them. And right after that, just days after that, or just even days or weeks after that, they come down from the mountain, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Moses goes back up, and these guys say, Moses had delayed coming down to get, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. We don't have a clue where he went. This man Moses, they called him. That's all the respect they had for the prophet that God had led them out of the, used to lead them out of the wilderness, or lead them out of Egypt, out of bondage. That He wrought miracles through the power of God. He had done all those things for them, and as much respect as they had for Him was this. We don't know what happened to this guy. We don't know if he's ever coming back. We don't know what the bum went and did. He probably got lost somewhere in the mountain. He's probably never coming back. He's probably deserted. So, just make us some new gods that'll go before us. Yeah, I have a question for you. Where were the 70 elders that ate and drank with God one chapter before this, a day before this or two? Where were those men at, those 70 elders in the camp? I'll tell you where they were. They are sleeping just like most are in the churches today. Men will not rise up and stand up against the wickedness. Now listen, I'm not telling you you got to cause trouble in the church, but listen, if the church don't want to get right with God and do right and preach the book and follow the Lord, then you leave. You don't stay there for the wickedness and the heresy and the false doctrine. You don't stick around for that. You get out of there. And you sacrifice how you have to. Some of you are driving 70 miles. Why? Because it's right. That's why. It's right. That's why. These men said nothing. You know how much I've heard that in churches? You've got little girls, young ladies being molested. You've got bus workers and all kinds of stuff that has went on. And I'm not talking about one church. I'm talking about many churches. I'm not picking on one place. I'm talking about many of them. You've got heresy in churches. And the pastor, the person comes to the pastor and says, Hey, listen, this is going on. And the pastor says, You just hush up and keep quiet about it. One church had a sodomite running around, young man running around in the church, in the youth group. Well, a concerned parent came to the pastor and started talking about it. The pastor said, Well, you just keep that to yourself. You don't talk about that to anybody. Think about that. Sad, isn't it? Well, what happened when the man of God was approached about this that was in the camp, Aaron? This is Moses' brother. Do you understand this? This is his own brother. His own brother said, yeah, I don't know where the bum is either. So what did Aaron say to do? Hey, break off your golden earrings, everybody. Just break them off. I'll make you a god. We'll make you a new god. There's nothing new under the sun. He wasn't making them a new god. He was fashioning it after the same old god. The same old Nimrod worship that went through Egypt. The same one that will be in the end times. The same one that was in Babel. The same one that has never ended. The same spirit of lawlessness and antichrist. It's all the same, folks. I'm sorry, there's not a different story. It's the same one all the way through. It's the mystery of iniquity that works against the Spirit of God. Constantly. Trying to mimic it, pollute it, pervert it, distort it. Same spirit. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them up to Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. Remember that commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image? Well, here's the high priest that was just consecrated by Moses, by the way. It just went through a bunch of consecration, a bunch of things. The purity was important. It was explained. Amen? So he's graving it. He's making the graven image. And the people break, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. It says he had, Bible says he had made it. You'll see his response is so deceitful when we get down to the rest of this chapter. We'll probably do this in two sermons here. But anyway, he said, after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Well, it's interesting that it said gods. Well, because there's a physical idol that's there, but there's also a spiritual meaning behind that physical idol. See, there's the physical idol that you see there that was shaped in a golden calf. Now, a golden calf, like I told you on Wednesday, was the Apis bull. The Apis bull was in Nimrod worship in Egypt, or Osiris and Isis. You remember those two? That's Nimrod and his mother. Okay, that worship, the Madonna worship that you find in Roman Catholicism today, same spirit that goes through there. Nothing's changed. Same thing. Different package. But the Apis bull, and also what, which we'll get into, he was the god that marked the god of fertility as well. And you'll see what that means as we move down a little bit farther. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Now, we're going to talk about this from on down. And this is really what I guess we can title this, is a hybrid worship in the house of God. A hybrid worship in the house of God. That's really what this is. That's really what's taking place here. And it is taking place in churches all over the world today. But I think the greatest transgressors of this is in America today. And it's exported throughout the whole world. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Oh, well, here's the golden calf that I made. Let me build an altar before it. So he built an altar before it. He is the high priest, right? He should be the one to build an altar. Don't you remember? He's the only one that could build an altar. Had to be the Levitical priest. It had to be the high priest that did it. So he built the altar. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. What happened here? This is what you would call a hybrid worship. This is taking the worship of devils and the worship of God and mixing the two together. God and devil mixed together. A hybrid worship. He said, okay, yesterday or today, we worship the Apis bull. We worship the false god, the satyr, actually, which is another form of this. Worship is the satyr, which we'll get to. They did worship devils and satyrs as well, or satyrs, whatever people pronounce it differently. You know how I mutilate any language. But the satyr, they worshiped that as well. And I'll show you that verse. Turn to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17. Now, I believe the King James Bible is the perfect, infallible, inspired Word of God. Amen. But you do have to understand that in English, words always mean the same, but some are more basic than others, and you got to do some more studying and dig down a little bit deeper to see, hey, what did he mean by this when he said devils? Sometimes devils means demons. Sometimes devil means a hairy goat, or a satire, a goat devil. Sometimes that's what that means. And in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse number 7, it says here, "And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations." Now that word there, that devils are false spirits, are wicked spirits, are fallen angels. Those devils are the worship that they gave to the satyr or the goat devil, the hybrid worship. Do you notice how there's the spirit that's supposed to be there, and then there's an animal that's in its place? And it's a worship that is brought together. It's a hybrid worship. And then they mix in a little bit of God, a little bit of Jehovah in there. And they try to sanctify all of that and cover it all up. Well, what happened? He said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Hey, today, 6 days of the week, we have served our own flesh and we have served the devil. And on Sunday, or on Saturday, in their case at that time, on Saturday, what did they say? They said, "We will worship God on the Sabbath then. We'll have a feast unto the Lord on the Sabbath then." What were they saying? They're saying, "I can live any way I want to during the week, and Sunday will sanctify me." Or Saturday, in their case, would sanctify them. What does that mean then? The same thing it means today in the churches today. Is that you can live any old way you want to, do any old thing you want to, and just show up to church on Sunday, and all of your sins of the week are sanctified. Now let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that God accepted their worship? You better shut that door back there. I don't think it might interrupt somebody that's walking by or something, and I don't want to, you know, out-preach the Greek guy with his opium down the road. That's swaying his opium box down there and everything else he's doing. But anyway, what's that? Yeah, I'm sure he does. But anyway, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings. Notice this. Look at this. It was what? It was their Sabbath. So they said what? Oh, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now, we're going to cover that rose up to play in a second. But let's backtrack a little bit and say, what is this? And the Lord said, and they rose up early in the morning and offered their burnt offerings. Oh, their peace offerings. And so, oh, what did they do? Well, they did what you would normally do on Sunday. If you put your offering in, if you showed up to sing hymns, if you showed up to listen to hear the preaching of God's Word, if you showed up to pray, they did the same thing. They followed that formality that they were supposed to. Well, can anybody answer this for me? Do you think that God accepted those offerings? Were those offerings blessed by God and sanctified by God? Did what they did, was it sanctified by God and what they had done? Folks, listen to me. They spent the day before, and this day also, they didn't leave the golden calf, they still had it there. But they spent the day before bowing down and dancing before a golden calf. The Apis bull, Nimrod, the picture of Osiris and Isis, the connection of the spirit world, and they worshiped that false, the fallen angels and the false prophets, they worshiped them, or the false idols. They sat down and worshiped them. They rose up and they worshiped them. By the way, in any heathen customs or any false gods or witchcraft, watch this, witchcraft, sorcery, there is always dancing involved. Always dancing involved. Now, most of the time, that dancing is very seductive. It's very wicked. Amen. It's very wicked. It should not surprise you that what goes on today in this world and in some churches, this dancing and other things that happens, is completely satanic. It is not biblical at all. It's satanic. Have you ever been to before I was saved, and maybe before you were saved, or maybe you've watched it, there's a series on that I watched on YouTube called They Sold Their Souls to Rock and Roll. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that before. I don't recommend you watch it with your children. But for some of you to get an insight to this world of understanding, they cover a lot of this about that worship of rock music and other things like that. And if you ever look at a stage or at an Ozfest or anything like that, and you watch how those people stand back, and you just stood back and watched how they are rocking and they are moving, and that music is banging loud, bang, 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 and those people are standing up looking at those people on stage like they're gods. Some of you never seen that before, have you? Good. I'm glad you haven't. But they look at them like they're gods. Anybody ever been a part of any of that or seen any of that before in your life? Ever seen any of those rock concerts? Am I the only heathen here that wasn't saved and seen some of that? Or did some of you see that? Anybody want to admit that they've seen some of those things before? And you step back and you look at them. They're elevated to a height. You're down to the ground. The music is pumping and banging, and they're going crazy. What is that? It's nothing but satanic worship. That's all it is. It's the same thing that went on here. Oh, preacher, now come on. Well, we'll show you. Actually, God will show you here in a few minutes here. That's exactly what happened. You know how I know? Because the Bible says so. That's how. Remember their minister Joshua? He said, there's war in the camp. Oh, no, said Moses. That's not war. That's not war. That's worship. And you know what? The rock concert that's going on down the road here at that thing they call a church, and the other things that they call a church, I agree with you, it's worship. It's just not to God. That's the difference. And as you well know, I don't care if I offend somebody that hears that. And so they offered their offerings, their burnt sacrifices. They followed the protocol. They did what they were supposed to do. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down. Get off the mount, Moses. Can you imagine with me for a second where Moses was? Do you realize he was with God? God was taking his finger and writing the Ten Commandments and the law to Moses. I mean, he was writing it. I mean, he's up there with God. Up there with God while there's an orgy going down below. He comes down and God looks at him and says, you better get going. Go get thee down for thy people. Did you see that? You see what he said? Hey, my people, Moses, they're your people. Your people. What you call mighty, they're your people. You get out of here. Now, he's doing that for a reason, by the way. I want you to understand what he's doing to Moses here. All through this, God's judgment is being used to test Moses' burden as well. Because he's going to take Moses through some pretty serious stuff with these people. And he's testing Moses' burden and his love and his desire to intercede for these people. Remember that. Don't forget that. Because they're rebellious and a stiff-necked people. Just like most Baptist church members. Rebellious and a stiff-necked people. Amen. And God sees them through. And he tests the burden of the preacher as well. Because they are hard-hearted and stiff-necked. And he understood that. And God knew that. He loved them besides that. Go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Oh. What'd they corrupt themselves with? A hybrid worship. That mixture of that satanic worship, that Nimrod worship, that worship of the bull, that worship of the creature more than the creator, that satanic worship that went on since the beginning of time. You can see that because he says that they were just, he tells them in Leviticus that I've given you all of this because I don't want you cannot do what the land has vomited these people out for their atrocities. Why? Because in Canaan they had bestiality, sodomy, false gods, they had giants, they had hybrids, they had satyrs, they had everything there. They had lion-like men, they had everything there. Why? All manner of wickedness was concentrated on Canaan. Why? Because God gave them that land. Watch this. God gave them the land. The devil knew it. Knew the Messiah would come through there. That would be their land. And wanted to do all he could to stop it. And he did all he could do to stop, try to stop it. But it didn't work. Amen. He said they have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly. Oh, wow. God just delivered them from Israel, or from Egypt, brought them out, gave them water to drink, gave them food to eat. They stood, God had just ate with their elders, appeared to them in the cloud, protected them, drowned all the Egyptians in the sea, got rid of all of them, gelled the waters up so they could walk on dry land. And what did he say to them? They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. It didn't take very long. Doesn't take very long for you either, does it? Doesn't take very long. What was he saying to them? God was saying that Moses, their heart turned back to Egypt. They turned their heart back to Egypt. They have quickly gone out of the way. They have turned aside. They turned their heart back to the world. Right after I delivered them, they went right back, their heart went right back there. Is it any wonder that God said that these were written for our admonition? Folks, you can't have one foot in Egypt and one foot in the promised land. It just doesn't work. It's a hybrid worship. It's not even accepted by God. And you'll see God's judgment on the hybrid worship. Have we not seen it today? Do we not see it in churches today? No power. No power. Why? Because church members are too interested in watching Twilight and vampires. They're mingling their worship with the world and Christ and trying to walk hand in hand with them. They're mixing the satanic with the light of God. And God says, I don't have anything to do with that. I want nothing to do with that. I don't want anything to do with your hybrid worship. I want purity. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. They made a molten calf and they have worshipped it. Now you see all the power of God that they saw, the hand of God move, all the miracles in front of their eyes. And as soon as Moses is gone for 40 days, what do? They make a molten calf and say, up these be thy gods, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Now, if they would have brought them out of the land of Egypt, then why was Egypt in their midst? Because it was. Their hearts turned back to Nimrod. Their hearts turned back to that false worship, those false gods. He said, and have sacrificed thereunto. And God recorded this and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. You talk about taking a dagger and sticking it in God's heart. I don't know. I don't know how you could do it. I mean, just like the Lord said, it grieved me that I had made man on this earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It repenteth me, and it grieved him at his heart. They gave the credit to a calf. They gave the credit to Nimrod for delivering them out of Egypt. A rebellious and a wicked heart. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. He said, behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, what's he doing right now? He's testing Moses' burden now. He knows they've sinned, and he's testing Moses' burden. Will Moses stand by them, or will he tell God, just go ahead and just burn them all down and get rid of them? Now, God knew what was going to happen, but Moses had to go through this testing as well. Their sin was their fault. I'm not saying that God caused their sin or whatever. No, they caused their own sin. They chose to do that. But God uses this in Moses. God said, said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. So what he's saying to him is, let me break forth on them. Just get out of my way, and I'll break forth on them, and I'll burn them all down and kill them all. And I'll start over with you, Moses. That's very tempting. Moses is going to have to, remember, Moses is going to have to go back down off that mountain and fix all this. Moses is going to have to go down back off that mountain and start killing some people. Some people are going to die for what they did. And he's got to carry these bunch of whiny Baptists all the way through the wilderness. Amen. And they hate his guts. Come on. They do. Why? Because he brought them the law of God and the truth, and many of them hated him for it. They sometimes hated him. They got stiff-necked and rebellious. We don't like that, Moses. He just comes at it straight and just doesn't pull any punches. Aaron there, they liked Aaron. Why? Well, Aaron compromised with them. They liked the compromiser. They didn't like Moses, though. So, you know, you got to understand Moses' perspective here. Man, I mean, I could stay up here. God could wipe them all out, and I could walk down there and be a great nation of myself. Remember that little Bible verse? It's not little. All of them are big. But that Bible verse in the New Testament that talks about a leader, not self-willed. Moses was a meek man, meeker than any man on the earth. He wasn't self-willed. He didn't care if it was better for him or it worked out for him. It didn't matter if it worked out for him. Well, you know what I mean? Well, Aaron was worried about what worked out for him when he was down there fashioning the golden calf, and everybody loved Aaron. Everybody was happy with Aaron because he made the golden calf. And listen, many church members and many Baptists or Christians will be happy with you if you'll go ahead and create that golden calf, and you'll make it, and you'll mold it, and you'll let them have their hybrid worship. They'll love you, and they'll fill your church with people. And they'll give you offerings, and they'll give you gifts, and they'll give you burnt sacrifices, and they'll give you offerings, free will. They'll do all those things if you allow that hybrid worship. You don't believe me? Look at today. Look at the churches that are offering the hybrid worship, and look how big they are. Why? Because they offer the hybrid worship. They give you Satan and God and mix the two together. And they're accepted. But Moses knew that he was going to have to come off that mountain. He was going to have to take care of business with them. And he was a meek man. But he still had to go down there. And you got to understand, Moses' nature was not to start screaming at people and hollering at people and leading with a strong hand like that. It wasn't really him. Remember, he said, Lord, send whom thou wilt send. You know, he was talking about, why don't you send the Messiah and send him. Don't make me go. I can't talk to these people. I can't do this, Lord. I don't want this confrontation. I don't want to deal with this. Well, God knew who Moses was, and he called him anyway. And he said to him, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. Well, remember, they weren't even supposed to touch the mount. If they touched the mount while Moses was up there, remember that? At the other time before that, he said, don't even come near the mount. If your animal comes near the mount, you're going to die. I'm going to break forth on all of them. I'm going to kill them. He said, tell them to stay in their tents because they'll be so curious when they see what's going up on this mountain. They're going to want to come out there. And God loved them so much. He said, you just tell them, make them stay in their tent. Tell them, don't come approach this mountain. Don't even come to the borders of this mountain, because if you come to the borders of this mountain, I'm going to kill you. So just stay in your tent. I know curiosity will get you, so you stay right where you're at. Don't come. But then the blood atonement was made, the blood sacrifice was made in the chapter before that, and then he allowed the 70 elders to come up. And he allowed them to come up to the mountain. And then what did they do? They turned their back on him 30 days later. It wasn't but a month later, after they'd seen God, that they turned their back on him. 40 days later, somewhere around that time, they turned their back on God and Moses. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? Did you see what Moses did there? He said, what did God say to him? The Lord said to Moses, go get thee down for thy people And what did Moses say? And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? Do you understand the boldness that Moses had here with the Lord and his interceding? It's a lot like Jesus Christ, isn't it? If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, then God the Father would break forth on all of us when we sin. And he would burn us up. Just like he will when he comes and destroys them with the brightness of his coming. That's what God was talking about. I'm going to burn them up. Just let me alone. I'll let my anger wax hot against them, my wrath, and I'll just destroy them. But Moses, a type of Jesus Christ here, besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Now, would you look at the two verses again? Every word Bible, it means something. And the Lord said to Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. But Moses says unto God, he said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? What is he doing? He's reminding God. He's saying, no, God, you brought them forth with a mighty hand. They're your people. You promised them, Lord. You said we'd make it through. You delivered them. Well, he's doing two things. Number one, he's giving glory to God because he's saying, no, it wasn't me, God. It was you that did it. You were the one that did it, not me. See, Moses didn't have any hybrid worship there. Moses understood who God was. He was dwelling with him in the mountain. He was standing there with God, and God was speaking to him. Could you imagine God speaking to you for 40 days like that, in that context, right in front of your face, and he's speaking to you like that, face to face, as with no other man? Amazing, isn't it? And Moses gave a reason. He said, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. He says, God, it won't bring you any glory if you destroy them here, because everybody's just going to say, all the Egyptians will say, look, their God just brought them out in the middle of the wilderness and killed them all. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Well, there's a good explanation of repentance right there, by the way. That turning, amen, a change of mind that leads to a change of action. It's not just a change of mind that you've been taught by some people, that it's just a change of mind. Well, I don't know anybody who's changed their mind and their action doesn't follow. It's the goofiest thing I ever heard of. How in the world could you change your mind and not have a change of action? It doesn't even make sense. It doesn't work in anything. Oh, I was going to do this, but I changed my mind. Well, that's because your action followed the change of mind. It's the fruit of the change of mind, right? Then I put feet to that and something happens. Ridiculous. It's not that hard to understand. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self. What does he do? He goes all the way back into the covenant promise to Abraham. And he says, remember, God, these are your people. Remember the promise that you made to Abraham? Remember the promise that you made to Isaac and to Jacob? Remember that, God, you made that promise. And said us unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. He said, God, you promised these your people. And even though they're mixed into this hybrid worship now, he asks them to put away their sin. Don't destroy them, Lord. Don't destroy them. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount. Do you understand the interceding? The necessity of that intercession that took place there, the necessity of that, what Moses interceding for those people on their behalf. I mean, if Moses didn't love those people, he wouldn't have interceded for them. Do you realize what he is going to go down and he's going to deal with, and what he's going to see after he's been with God, and what he's going to have to do to some of these people and the remnant of these people and what's going to be left of them and what he's going to have to, how he's going to have to deal with them. How about dealing with your own brother? I go down and look at his brother. Like, what in the world's wrong with you? What did you do? And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do. And Moses turned and went down from the mount. And the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. And the tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other they were written. What's Moses doing? Moses is going down to a wicked people that are in sin, and he's carrying the law. And he's taking the law right to them, and he's going to show them that he's been with God, and God wrote this with his own finger, and this is the law of God, and he's taking it right to them. This is what I was doing. This is where I was for 40 days. This is how you sold me out. But is it any different how they sold Moses out? We know not where what this man is. We don't know where he went, this man Moses. Did they not do that to Jesus Christ too when he came unto his own and his own received him not? When he came unto them, what'd they say? We will not have this man to rule over us. We don't want this man. Crucify him, crucify him. It's the same thing they said to Moses. They didn't revere Moses. Do you understand that these Pharisees still pretended even in Matthew chapter 5 and all the way through the book of Matthew, we see it in the New Testament, that they preferred Moses? No, they wouldn't. No, they didn't. They didn't follow the law of Moses, and they didn't revere him like they said they did either. They would have done the same thing that those Israelites did. We don't know where the guy went. I don't know where that guy went. He's just some guy. No, he's not just some guy. He was the anointed man of God. He was the prophet that led you out of the wilderness, or out of the land of Egypt and was going to lead you through the wilderness. He wasn't just some guy. He was the God-called man that delivered you out of there, and you've forgotten everything that he ever did for you, and you spit on everything that he ever did, and the God, most importantly, the God that he represented, you spit on him too. And you turn to dumb idols. You turn back to Egypt. You turn back to a hybrid worship. It says here, in the tables were the work of God. What was that saying? The law is the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God. Graven upon the tables. See, they had their graven image, and he was bringing something down that was graven by God. While they were worshiping that calf and the satanic demonic spirit that was behind it. You see, I don't believe there was a satanic demonic spirit behind it, really. Well, I'll show you the next hour that there was one right here from the Word of God, and you'll see it, because you'll see the reaction that those people had to it. And we still haven't talked about how they rose up and play and what that really meant, and we'll get to it here towards the end of it, of what really took place there and how it happened. But Moses took that down. He took the tables of the law down with him, and they were the work of God. Moses wasn't just up having a picnic or having a party. He was learning from God. He was getting the law that they were to be governed by. And God had just appeared unto all of them. He had appeared first, like the angel of the Lord went before them and appeared in the cloud and in the fire. Before that, he had already appeared to them. He had already showed by his power that he would deliver them and that his angel would go before them. And Moses was coming down and he was saying this to them: while you were in a hybrid worship, I came down to show you the laws that you're to worship God by. And he had them in his hand when he walked down there. And there was a purpose for that. And we'll see what he does actually later here. In the next hour, we'll see exactly what he had done with those, with those tables. But you think about that. More of this hybrid worship we see in the next verse that was going on. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, "There is noise of war in the camp. There is noise of war in the camp." Joshua was worried about the people's safety. Moses understood what their spiritual condition was. We'll get to that in the next hour. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness to us, and thank you. for your word. Thank you for the truth of it, Lord. Father, I just pray that you'd help us to receive it in spirit and in truth. Lord, this hybrid worship is wicked, and we're going to see in the next hour just how wicked it actually becomes, this satanic worship. And we're also going to see the judgment on that hybrid worship that took place there, that satanic worship that took place, that worship of Nimrod. Lord, I pray that you just bless Jesus.